Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Time to look back in detail at racing at Flemington yesterday. We'll touch on a couple of feature races at Ipswich, the Eyeliner and the Gay Waterhouse Classic. But Flemington was our focus yesterday, and it was another day where the Rammers Ruffy saluted. It was credence for Matt Kamani and Michael Poy. And as I welcome into you, Dean Lester, there might be even naming a Rammers Ruffy race. You're instrumental in bringing the Flemington Cup back. We might have to get a race after named after Rammers Ruffy.
Thanks, Warren. He wasn't so rough yesterday, but certainly it was a good result, and glad that the pundits were able to salute.
It's relative, though, isn't it? Because he's gone round at $4.40, and I think he was in excess of $7, although there were some scratchings in the market there. So you're right, not as rough as some, certainly not as rough as he excels the week before, but albeit some value, Dean.
Yeah, well, we got the money. That's the main thing, Warren. It was a good day's racing. I think the highlight of the racing yesterday was some of the riding. I think there was some just tremendous riding. Even I think the best ride was in defeat, and we'll get onto that a bit later.
And Brendan Delaney, racing at Flemington yesterday for you, what was the highlight?
Probably the three-year-olds, the two-year-olds, I beg your pardon, early on in the day. There's a fair bit of promise there at a Saturday meeting in the middle of July. There's a couple of nice three-year-olds there. Alcyone, Johnny Get Angry, and Shadow Prey, who we hadn't seen take on these horses before, put his hand up to say he's probably good enough to jump onto their coattails and follow them wherever they go next time in.
Alcyone was one of the shorter price favourites of the day. He drifted in betting closer to the mark, but he was in the Byly trying to secure a spot in the Derby with Johnny Allen aboard for James Cummings.
400 to go. The leader, Mr. Wolf from Star of Leon, and here comes Alcyone. Alcyone moves up with big, bold strides and takes the lead. Johnny Get Angry's running on, and Shadow Prey as well. So 200 to go. Alcyone a length to Johnny Get Angry. Shadow Prey the outside. Alcyone needs the line. Johnny Get Angry's getting close. Alcyone a half. Johnny Get Angry. Alcyone will do enough under Allen. Alcyone one from Johnny Get Angry and Shadow.
Spoke to James Cummings earlier, Brendan, and likely that he'll have a little bit of a break and obviously then aim up towards the Derby. What was your take on the way the race panned out yesterday?
It was a slowly run affair, and John Allen was straight onto that. He knew where he wanted to be through the early part of the race. From that low draw, he didn't want to get pushed onto the fence. He was pretty keen to stay one off, and he eventually got the 1-1 and had the right run off the back of that slow tempo. He ambled up at the top of the straight. He put them away to some extent. I think he just maybe got a little bit lost. He wanted to roll in. Johnny switched the stick back to the left hand, and then he wanted to roll out, and probably when Johnny Get Angry got up within three quarters of a length of him at the 100, he was more than likely just going to hold him to the line once he knew where he was, and he had a bit of competition there. He's a really nice horse. Johnny Get Angry speed against him. He was a length or so off Alcyone. His work to the line again was really good, and off a Ballarat synthetic run, Shadow Prey, he's put his hand up to say he might be able to jump onto their coattails, maybe not get to the heights of Alcyone and Johnny Get Angry, but he's certainly going to have a hand to play in some of the three-year-old staying races. You would think maybe in the next week or so, maybe they might put him out and try and jump onto the coattails of the first two across the line, but the speed was dead against him out the back, and his work through the line was really good, and he's still got a little bit to learn, but the winner's a nice horse. He got put in the right spot, and it shaped up to be his race, and exciting to see what he's going to do when the weather gets a bit warmer.
Lockie King incurred the wrath of the stewards to some extent aboard Johnny Get Angry, who bounded at the start, so he was probably a little bit further back than Connections would have liked, and good to see the horse prepared by Dennis Bagan produce another good run at Flemington, but because of the position he was in the run and Lockie King overusing the whip, he's had a suspension for a total of 7 meetings, and he's also been fined $450. So James Cummings, in a discussion I had with him earlier, Brendan, just probably just airing a little bit of frustration with that rule, and just glad in the fact that he wasn't able to I suppose be beaten by a horse that had infringed the whip rule and then have to deal with the consequences of that.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I'm not really in favour of the whip rule. I think it should be rider's discretion. He's a big horse, Johnny Get Angry. It was a slow tempo, and he probably needed a bit of revving up and that's what he got. Unfortunately, the way the situation is, Lockie's going to have to cop the wrath of the stewards for that. But, you know, if he doesn't get stuck into him, does he just lope along in behind them off the back of that slow tempo and might be just content to follow them on the Godolphin team? I didn't think the run of Quai was all that bad at start number three. He sat on the inside of the stable maiden favourite and just ran up into a dead end in the straight. But once Dean Yendall was able to get across the heels of the two leaders, Mr. Wolf, that was coming back on him, and Star of Leon, I didn't think that the work through the line was all that bad. Probably not going to reach the heights of the first two across the line, but there's definitely going to be a race for Quai getting out maybe over a little bit more ground when he gets a bit older.
A lot of these horses, Dina, are very early in their career. What was your take on the overall strength and some of the key performances here?
Look, I'm a fan of El Siona. I've been from start one, and he's trending towards the Derby. And, you know, I think it's a great promotion that, you know, you get exempt from the ballot, but if you win a 100,000-plus race, you're going to get into the Derby. Maidens get into the Derby. So that was... It was good to see him win that and now go that way. I think Brendan mentioned the horse Quai, the stablemate. When the sprint went on, because it was a very pedestrian tempo, he really lost his action, didn't know what to do. But actually, I thought on the line was going okay. And there's another one of these 1800s at Flemington in 3 weeks. And he's only had the three runs where Elfione was up to run number four. He might chime in that race in 3 weeks' time. Like Shadow Prey, who I think appreciated the quiet ride and ran well. Conversely, Star of Leon, who we saw really ping to the line from the back at Bendigo, ridden forward yesterday, made him very one-paced, and he grounded out okay, but not in the same manner that he ran at Bendigo 2 starts back.
Just had a chat to T.A. Nugent regarding his couple of rides for 2 wins at Flemington, saying at times that the jocks were concerned about the win, but he thought the track was in great order. What was your take on the way the track played, Dean?
I think the track played fine, but... The sectional times show that there was just a total non-willingness to run into that breeze, if you like. The circle races, they were run at with, you know, the exception maybe of the race won by Romancer, they were run at farcical speeds, and I imagine that was because the jockeys didn't want to head into the wind. But one of them that did, he was still going very slowly, as you mentioned, T.A. Nugent. He still got the prize, so I think might have been overanalysed a bit there.
Alcione taking out the Biley, securing a spot in the Derby and winning the $100,000 race, as Dino outlined. Even if that didn't give you a ballot exemption, I'm sure he would get in there with his rating and his prize money. But he took out the third race, the Biley at Flemington yesterday. The first race was down the straight, over 1,000 metres. Craig Williams was riding for Robert Hickmott aboard Bumper Blast.
Over on the outside at the 400 metres, it's Ashlaw leading Mr. Mogul by a length, then Bumper Blast, Irish Mint and GG second over. As they reach the 300 metres, under the whip at Snitzcraft in front of Fight Mr. Mogul, then Ashlaw, GG second over's running on. They've got to Snitzcraft, Mr. Mogul, Bumper Blast and GG second over the top of them. Bumper Blast is the one, takes the lead, and Bumper Blast has won it. Bumper Blast from a head bobber, Fight or Snitzcraft?
Well, he's going to win the premiership again, Dino, so we expect Craig Williams to ride lots of winners. But from an inside draw here aboard Bumper Blast, that was a remarkable ride. To my eye, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, it was the first great piece of riding for the day, and he was just single-minded where he wanted to be on the track. And as you said, he edged out. I thought Bumper Blast, watching his jump out, he looked pretty casual. I didn't think he'd be wound up for this race, but that was probably a good thing because he still had that bit of freshness about him and he really pinged home late. So good effort by Rob Hickmont to have him, you know, sharp enough to win it 1,000 because he'd never been there and you just wondered if he was going to be quick enough. But he rattled home, ran the best last 200 of the meeting, as you'd expect in a 1,000-metre race. But he was the one that got the job done. Mr. Mogul ran well. Fight got third on protest, and that was pretty clear cut. Snitzcraft took him right off his line, and there wasn't much between them. And GG second over, he was persisting for that run to the outside or the inside of Irish Mint, and then just as the split second that Craig Newitt decided to go to the inside, the run appeared. So I think if he'd waited one more stride, he'd have been on the part of the track he wanted to be, and he'd have made his run with the winner. Not saying he'd have won, but I think he should have probably run second. He actually then had to go sideways for about 50 to 100 metres, angling inwards, and I thought that was costly.
How do you see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, nice to see Bumper Blast come back, and probably didn't help Craig Newitt's pulling through with the course here with GG second over. With Snitchcraft running around, he probably could have zeroed up and gone up in between underneath Snitchcraft at least, instead of having to dive right back down there to the inside. But nice to see Bumper Blast back. He went to the mile for that one run at Ballarat on Ballarat Cup Day, where it was impossible to come from the back and make ground, and then back to 1400. We know he's got a pretty big finish on him, and going to be interesting to see where he gets to, but just off yesterday, probably the shorter trips are going to be the way to go with him. Mr. Mogul battled on okay. Fight was good, despite Snitchcraft running all over the top of him. GG second over just peaked out a little bit late, but did have a couple of little excuses there. But all in all, nice to see Bumper Blast back and winning in such good style.
We heard Dan McCarthy, Dean, explaining throughout the week that Ashlaw probably likes a bit of a bend to be able to kick off, and that's where we see his best. And he's just not the same horse down the straight. It's certainly a talent that a number of horses can master, and Ashlaw just doesn't quite seem to have the skills to be anywhere near as effective down the straight.
Yeah, I mean, he's borderline group horse around the turn, and he's a very basic, probably benchmark horse down the straight. He just doesn't, he just can't get that acceleration like he can, and the figures show that too repeatedly. He's a horse that runs above standard when he's standardising times, but when he gets to the straight, he's always below standard. He was about 3.5 lengths below yesterday.
Craig Williams, Bumper Blast, first up, taking out the first race at Flemington yesterday. Jamie Carr, combined with Anthony Friedman, aboard Wilmot Pass, who was second up in race two, also down the straight.
So the front runner, Sansom, just from Sea Dragon, onto the course proper at the 450. It'll be a dash home. Proper Rogue behind them from Wilmot Pass, Lucifer's Reward. Back behind those, Rock Prophet over on the far side, then Calypso Rain and Exeter. Sansom under a hold at the 250 from Sea Dragon, then Wilmot Pass and Rock Prophet. Back behind them, Proper Rogue and Exeter. Sansom grabbed by Rock Prophet and Wilmot Pass. 100 metres to go. Rock Prophet, Wilmot Pass from Sansom. It's Wilmot Pass and Rock Prophet. Wilmot Pass will win it. Wilmot Pass beat Rock Prophet Sansom, fourth Exeter.
So close for Ray Basenko, going for his second win at Flemington, Brendan. But Wilmot Pass second up, and Jamie Carr just seemed to always have him in a spot that you were probably happy if you were aboard Wilmot Pass.
Yeah, just tucked in behind a nice enough gallop set by Sansom, and he was there with his... with his chance at Wilmot Pass. It got a little bit hairy for a little bit there for those that were on him. Rock Prophet, who came from the back and threw on the inside, was a really good effort, and he just ran out of steam in the last little bit, and maybe a little bit of class to Wilmot Pass dragged him over the line. But Jamie gave him a beautiful run in behind, and he was there and ready to go, unlike at Caulfield, where he just got left behind and just took a little bit to wind up. He was still doing some pretty nice work late, but he was right in the race yesterday. Sampson was here with his chance. He was trucking into it nicely. Runs another placing this time in Rock Prophet. Good Exeter closed off well. Proper Rogue had a very similar run to Wilmot Pass, but of the pair, he was probably not travelling as well as Wilmot Pass when they were starting to wind up at about the 300. Ollie was just there and niggling at him, and he couldn't really pick up and sprint with them. But Jamie just had Wilmot Pass coiled up in a nice little spot there to pop out and chase. And thankfully, for most punters, not so much for Ray Basenko, who was able to just get up over the top in the last 50.
Yeah, I was keen on Proper Rogue, and Damien Oliver offered no explanation for the gelding's performance, and a post-race veterinary examination failed to reveal any obvious abnormality, and stewards are going to follow up with the stable. Because I agree with you, Brendan, he seemed to have a nice enough run till mid-race, but Dino, when the pressure went on to some extent, there was some warning signs pretty early that Proper Rogue wasn't responding the way you'd like him to.
Yeah, exactly right, Warren. And look, it's very hard to tell because we're watching off television monitors and not, close to the animals. But to me, he didn't look like he'd really bloomed off that first up run. So maybe, it was just a bit of a flat second up run, and he can still come on from that. But Wilmot Pass, he really had trained on from that run. And the other thing is that Jamie Carr's had two rides on this horse, and they've been his two best performances for mine. He's win it Mowi and his win yesterday. So she's got a real affinity with the horse. I don't think he's straightforward, but she gets the job done on him. And Rock Prophet ran right up to that good effort first up and he was big odds yesterday, but he ran very well, and he's going to be a decent city class off season at least horse. I think Rock Prophet and Samson, he's running well. Probably needs to be better around a turn, but he ran quite well, and I thought Exeter ran quite well. And Riyadh, it's a bit of a reprogramming with Riyadh. We saw him be a bit of a dasher early in his career. His win at Warwick Nobilo just sat him back, and he powered home. And yesterday, didn't power home, but he did enough to suggest that this is the way to go with him, is to ride impatient and run home, and he'll be winning races.
With Wilmot Pass first up, he was at 1,000 metres, and he was really struggling to keep up just out of that shoot start at Caulfield. But down the straight, he was able to settle a little bit closer. Was that something that you expected in terms of up in distance and with the dynamics of straight racing as opposed to round a bend, Dean?
Yeah, well, Warren, he went the first, say, 200 metres of that race at Caulfield about three lengths below standard and couldn't keep up. Yesterday, the first 400 metres of the race, he went nine lengths below standard, so he's hard on the bit. So it just shows the total different dynamic of the mentality of how the straight is ridden. And, that's how he could get on the bit, because he was going about a second slower than he was at Caulfield for the early stage of the race.
Jamie Carr handling him perfectly, continuing her good association with Will Not Pass, taking out race two at Flemington yesterday. We've talked about the Biley and Alcyone on a path to the Derby, perhaps with a rematch with a few horses out of that race. And obviously these aren't the only horses that are going to head to the Derby, but two-year-olds out to 1,800 metres at this stage of the season, a good sign for Alcyone, Johnny Get Angry and others. El Questro was in the Rising Stars final. T.O. Nugent had two rides at Flemington yesterday, made the most of both of them.
El Questro tried to slide away at the 352 lengths. Lady of Flanders back to the fence from Soaring Eagles, a ballerina, Maxi Mac, and then came Shakura. El Questro at the clock tower, still two lengths in front. El Questro for T.O. Nugent, second in this race last year, but this year she has it shot to bits. El Questro, three or four lengths in front, bolts in. Second, Beauty Bolt, I'd say, from Maxi Mac.
Well, Dino, you've used the word farcical in terms of some of the tempo of circle races at Flemington yesterday. How did they run this one?
Yeah, pretty much that, Warren. I think this was nearly the clubhouse leader, that and the Credence race. But first 600 metres, El Questro ended up taking it up, but went 16.8 lengths below standard for the first 600. And from there, just T.O. Nugent just ramped it up and was always in the striking spot. It was interesting because I think if a couple of others had gone forward, then you might have got the overreaction, but they didn't. And he was the one that got the prize. Beauty Bolt, terrific in defeat. She weaved through and actually reeled off the third best last 200 of the meeting off that slow speed. Maxi Mac back in distance, going well. Soaring Eagle okay. The Bellarina three wide, no cover. I just wonder, that probably a forgive because she was three wide, no cover, but I just wonder if she's a better actual sprinting mare and kept on the fresh side. But, all honours with T.O. Nugent here when taking up the initiative to a degree and just getting the prize.
And when you see three wide, no cover, you tend to think, I'll forgive that because the horse has done plenty of work. But at the tempo that they were going, probably nowhere near as much work as if they were running at a more solid tempo.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Credence later in the day, and that's exactly, he was in that scenario, but off a slow speed and handled it no problem. So it's, individual cases, but it certainly didn't suit her yesterday as the ballerina, and, she was a little bit plain. I thought she's on time. Who finished well back, but did more than enough because she's more of a 16 to 2,000 metre horse and was totally against her at the tempo of this race, but her closing effort was quite good.
Brendan Campbell Rewilla taking out the overall series, T.O. Nugent taking out the final race. And we were talking yesterday on the Saturday panel about the depth of apprentices we have here in Victoria. And when you look at that field yesterday, certainly that highlights the depth of the young rider ranks here in Victoria.
Yeah, certainly does. T.O. Nugent up there controlling it yesterday, but the likes of the Will Price and Tom Stockdale, Campbell Rowilla, Lewis German, Lockie King, and then Lockie Neindorf comes across from South Australia to join the ranks. It's certainly competitive enough, but Tio was able to grab a hold of this one quite early on in the race. And she'd been threatening to win this campaign. She was good, fresh, good second up. had poor recovery last time, but probably didn't get the best of runs covering ground in the Leilani final. But she, Tio just took the initiative when there was no speed on. Maybe Soaring Eagle could have pressed on a little bit harder and maybe made El Cuestro sit outside of it. She'd been racing well, tucking in behind, and the race was just against Beauty Bolt from a long way out, and it didn't help her again when she got held up on the turn. Maxi Mac was good, but all in all, El Cuestro probably deserved to win one, and Tio Nugent really just grabbed the race by the scruff of the neck and ran it on his terms.
The Flemington Cup, 1849 over 2,800 metres, was race 5 on the card, and there was some good money for South Pacific, who was second up for Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace.
Del Harold quick and right up just in front of Saunter Boy, and then came Exemplar 3 deep. El Faris makes a run 4 deep, and then Ventura Storm with plenty of room. Crimson Ace sticks to the fence. South Pacific to the outside from Sweet Thomas, but it's Exemplar moving up and taking the lead at the 250, followed by Saunter Boy, El Faris, Sweet Thomas runs on, Cinderwin and South Pacific having a bumping duel. Exemplar led at the clock tower. A wall chases Saunter Boy, Crimson Ace back to the inside, El Faris in to win, South Pacific also coming. It's still Exemplar. 50 metres to go. Cinderwin out of the pack is charging. Cinderwin comes at Exemplar and missed. Exemplar beats Cinderwin. South Pacific third. Followed next.
Well, the stable had three runners in the race. As I referenced, Brendan, South Pacific was the one that was well backed, and both Exemplar and Sauna Boy were pretty easy in the market. But it was Exemplar prevailing with Johnny Allen aboard. A good day in the office for Johnny.
Was, and well, to be fair, I don't think anyone's seen this one coming. Exemplar winning, it'd been 1,400 days since he broke his maiden at Galway. He's a two-year-old, and he's had to wait a long time. But he was just a horse that landed in the perfect spot off the back of what was an okay speed. Del Harold adopting his stablemate Sasko's tactics of just ambling on a little bit through the early part of the race, but really trying to ramp it up from the 800 and play a little bit catch me if you can. They were there and they caught him pretty swift. But Exemplar was the one who wasn't far back enough that it was going to be too hard for him to make ground and then sprint. He was just in the right spot at the right time. Cinderwin, he's having an outstanding preparation without winning a race. He got held up a couple of times. He had to shove South Pacific out the way to get out and have a crack at Exemplar, and he just missed. South Pacific's run was solid enough, you would have to say. Saunter Boy was okay up there riding the speed. Sweet Thomas down from Sydney, you'd have to say he was probably disappointing. Did a little bit of work to get into the race, but he was right on the back of Exemplar, and you know, it's a form line that he's coming through that race in Sydney that you'd like to think if he got on the back of Exemplar, he'd run past him. Al Tharis worked hold just a little bit late when he had to do that little bit of chasing when they quickened up. I thought San Remo's run was pretty good for a hurdler. He'll be knocking on the door next time he goes around. The National's not all that far away, or the... there's a couple of nice jumps races that he's going to be really competitive in. He was taking some ground off them again, but Exemplar in the right spot, took advantage of it. Not sure if he remembered what to do, but Johnny was riding hard enough to ensure he stuck to his task, that's for sure.
What did we learn here, Dino?
Look, I thought Exemplar's run was fantastic at Sandown, but I just couldn't bring myself to think that in a benchmark level would win this race. But he just got absolutely in the sweet spot, courtesy of a really good Johnny Allen ride. He just, I think, position and running, as much as anything, won this race, about four lengths off the lead, with not too much to do, blended into the race, and then able to hang on, Cinderwin. He's always got to do that little bit extra to get into a race from the back, since he's developed that habit of racing back. And South Pacific, he ran okay. My Irish spies tell me that he's a much better horse on genuine wet ground, so maybe that's when we tap into him. But he's close to a win. He ran quite well. But Exemplar, I just think it was more a case of best ride and position and running won him the race.
Stewart's talked to Dan Stackhouse regarding the ride on Cinderwin, and just regarding an issue where he didn't take a run to the inside of Al Faris at the 400-metre mark. And Dan Stackhouse advised that he was instructed to race to the outside of runners, so he persisted for that run to the outside of Al Faris. He added, in hindsight, he may well have been better to stick to the inside and maintain that clear running. But stewards asked the question, Dan Steckhouse answered it, and we saw Exemplar take out the Flemington Cup 1849. Dino, and good to see it back on the agenda.
It's been kept fresh for 171 years, so hopefully it goes and gets a run again next year.
1,600 metres for the three-year-olds was the next race on the card at Flemington, Race 6. And Damien Oliver was aboard Right You Are, who was burdened with 62 kilos.
Mr. Cancun went to the front at the 350 from Arctic Wolf and Stretto. Right You Are behind them. Then came Karame trying to get into the clear. Down the outside, Smoke and Romans and Over the Sky. Mr. Cancun joined by Karame and Stretto. Karame, Stretto go together. Right You Are's got out too. Stretto, Karame and Right You Are. Right You Are. Oliver screaming at his charge. Stretto lifts. Bob of the head. Right You Are beat Stretto, I'd say. Karame third. It's a photo though. Then Mr. Cancun.
Yeah, race that changed a little bit of complexion. Kurame and Stretto almost fighting it out, Brendan, and then Ollie had the last say aboard Right You Are.
Yeah, Ollie pretty keen at where he wanted to be as soon as the gates opened. He was pretty intent on holding a spot just two, three pairs back off the leaders, and he was determined to stay there, and probably to the detriment of his stablemate, you would have to say, who just kept on getting shuffled further and further back. But he knew where he wanted to be, Ollie. Kurame Stretto snuck up on his inside early part of the straight, but he's a horse that knows where the winning post is, and he was really strong late, threw up on the inside. Stretto is working nicely through his preparation. There was some market support there yesterday. He almost got the job done. Kurame, Dean Yendall from one of the very wide draws was able to drop back, save plenty of ground up the inside, followed Stretto through. She's racing really well. Mr. Cancun up there riding the speed was solid enough. Over the Sky, who was well supported, jumped well enough through the early part of the race, but then things just went from bad to worse for him through that early part, when he looked as though he's going to be just off the leading pack and not all that far off his stablemate. Right You Are, there was rump stake all around. He got the head up and wouldn't settle, and there wasn't a lot of room there for him. He ended up shuffled a long way back and having to come to the outside, but wasn't really the place to be with the first three coming up nearer the fence. But Right You Are, a horse in really solid form, and a little bit of a break between runs there, almost a month between runs, in fact a month between runs. He was really good after that time, and a great determination to win.
Dino, you referenced at the start of the show that there was some losing rides that you wanted to particularly highlight, and I'll be interested in your take on this race if one of those rides comes out of a performance here.
Yeah, well, probably two really, but I thought Michael Poy's ride on Stretto was outstanding. He just cut down to the inside early and got inside a couple of runners. I heard Matt Kamani reference that he spent a little bit of petrol to do it. Well, they weren't going very fast, so it wasn't much of an issue. And he just kept driving for runs and eventually getting them. And, yeah, it was a ride that probably deserved a winning result. Dean Yendall and Kurame, much the same. But Right You Are is just a little bit better than this grade. He's a bit like Kirstan in the longer distances, who's just better than that grade. Right You Are is better than this grade, and even with the 62 kilos, he was able to win. And the draw helped him, posse up closer, as he'd done at most of his runs this time in, with the exception of the 2,000-metre race at Flemington, where he went back. But he was very good to get that job done. Stretto, Kurame, good. And little one for a lesser race. I thought Leonardo went through the line quite well for the Elton Zara team. Really conceded at the start, and another one that poked through along the inside, but went to the line okay. Probably could drop back to the midweeks and be very effective.
Learning about a few of these horses, Right You Are was back in distance to the 1600, and I think the stable are still learning about him, but feel that he's got a bright future. Dino, where do you think Right You Are might be able to progress on? He'll obviously be a four-year-old in only a few weeks' time, but where could he head?
I think I heard Mick Price say that maybe a break and aim up at a race like the Ballarat Cup, and that a young progressive horse with a light weight, I wouldn't say that. It's becoming a very good race, high prize money race, and just 2,000 metres now. But I would suggest that he could run very well in a race like that.
Now, one via the SMS, Dino, from a regular visitor, a regular contributor in Phil from Dubbo, and I'm glad someone listens on Saturday morning. Good morning, Dean. I'm not sure why you relinquished the baton with the $100 punters challenge this week, as last week you had $50 on efflorescence, which should have been at least $4, and 25 each way he excels. So you doubled the money. I guess you would have made a profit with Credence yesterday as well. I took the baton yesterday and duly fried the money in the Flemington Cup. So Phil's been listening, Dino, and if to your memory, what did you suggest as the bet the week before? I think you should have had the baton this week too.
I should have. I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember that I did that, but it's good that Phil's keeping an audit for us. And, I'll take that up with Gareth this week. He should have remembered. He's our leader, and a bit disappointing from Gareth, really.
He struggles writing down Gator's quaddy numbers, so you might have just spoken too fast for him, Dino.
Well, that's often a problem too.
From your point of view, Brendan, right you are, the talking about potentially a race like the Ballarat Cup, where do you think he might be able to progress on to?
Ballarat Cup as a four-year-old seems a nice little target for him as a stepping stone. His breeding suggests that 2,000 metres isn't going to be a problem. So you think, like a ding, she was a really good staying mare, Geelong Cup winner, Adelaide Cup winner. She ran well in a Melbourne Cup as well. So if he throws to his mum, he'll get a little bit more ground, and he's certainly got the will to win of his dad. So a Ballarat Cup mightn't be out of his reach, but you would think there might be a race at Flemington or the like on the way that he might pick up on the way through to a Ballarat Cup, and maybe a spring's time away, he might be a horse that we're talking of that might be measuring up to some better races than a Ballarat Cup.
Good friend of the station and well known to many people in all codes of racing in Billy Hutchison, involved in the ownership of Right You Are. I think he's also involved in a bit of a lad, and his harness team's flying at the moment. So good on you, Bill. You're having a great time of it, and you're going to have some fun with Right You Are as his career unfolds. T.O. Nugent was shooting for a double aboard Romancer in race 7 for Graham Beck.
Around the turn, 500 to go. France's Boy from Mossendale. A run appears almost for never again. Ciccone deeper, then Romancer. Danon Roman needs some luck. De Beer down the outside, and Order of the Garters behind that wall. Plenty of hopes here. Romancer, Mossendale together as they reach the 250 from Danon Roman, Ciccone. Then Order of the Garter, De Beer and El Galale. It's Romancer below the 200 metres. Two lengths, Order of the Garter. Then Ciccone, De Beer. Romancer is going well in the shadows. And it's Romancer, a double for Tio. Won it from Order of the Garter, De Beer third, then El Galale.
Few runs to take note of here, Dino, I think, particularly Order of the Garter, a horse who was first up from a lengthy break, but Romancer just got the gun run from Tio Nugent here.
Yeah, he did. He drew a better gait, as Graham Begg outlined in the post-race interview, and that certainly helped him, because probably the back end of a mile is a bit of a challenge, but he got a lovely run. Francis Boy led them at benchmark speed, standard speed this week, whereas last week over a slightly longer distance on wetter ground led at about 9 lengths above standard, but maybe he just lost all of his edge, Francis Boy, and he just led at standard speed. And Romancer was in a lovely spot to be in control of the race. Order of the Garter, I thought when he got through, he quickened nicely. He peaked on his run maybe the last 100 metres. See, De Beer is just a reliable horse. Doesn't matter what trip, they just front him up and he runs well. And El Galale's ready. Just needs probably 2,000 metres now. He ran very nicely through the line and looking for that slightly longer trip. And Never Again's well named at 1,600. I don't want to see him at 1,600. He was very well weighted yesterday in comparison to Ciccone, but I just don't think he gets the trip.
And you can tell from the turn into the home straight that Will Price has been bought up with the plastic running rails, not the hard running rails, because he was happy to test his luck there and even forge a path where there was unlikely to be enough room. And Stuart's actually had a little bit of a chat to him about that. But you could see the rail actually giving way as Will was trying to force a path, on the turn into the home straight.
Yeah, the GPS might show that he ran less than 1,600 metres. He cut in that fine.
How'd you see this race, Brendan?
Romance, everything went well for him. Low jury, hadn't had one for a while. 12-13-9 his last three runs, and he was able to just get into a nice spot where we'd seen him be effective from last winter, and he was able to get there without doing a lot of work. They went at a solid enough gallop for him. He was good. He's been chipping away well throughout the season. Order of the Garter, they'll be pleased with that. Just ran out a little bit late when he probably got to the 50 metres or so. De Beer was good. Al Galeo good. Danin Roman was there with his chance. Just got held up fractionally at the top of the straight. Maybe lost a little bit of momentum, but he never really picked up. And maybe Zirconi, the recent racing that he's had, just telling a little bit there at the back end. But Romance, he's been threatening to pick up one, and the stars aligned for him yesterday. But Order of the Garter, De Beer, Al Galeo are going to be three horses to keep an eye on over the coming weeks.
Francis Boy figures in the stewards' report, and there's that inquiry from the race last week. He led and weakened from the 300-metre mark, and Georgie Cartwright reporting that he may have come to the end of his preparation. I suppose, Brendan, from that tough run last week, you'd know that he'd be fit, I suppose, but it was a question of whether that took a lot out of him.
Yeah, I'd suggest that probably took a fair bit out of him, backing up a week after a run on a wet track and really being taken on by Surreal Image there last week. I think that contributed a fair bit. You would have to say he probably got to a point in the race and he thought, well, this is too tough after what happened last week, and maybe just threw the toys out the cot a little bit and said, I'm ready for a break, but he'll go back to Adelaide, you think, and have a little break, and he'll be back.
Romancer taking out the James Dunbar's Flemington Inn handicap over 1,600 metres, courtesy of a terrific ride from T.O. Nugent, part of a double for him at Flemington yesterday. Credence was well supported from the time markets opened in the 2,000-metre race, which was race 8 on the card yesterday.
Bartholomew Diaz moves up and heads off Sully at the 400. Then Credence right there on the premises. Sulsamore darts back to the fence from Vasileta. Sir Pippin runs on, then Savaheat and WT. Bartholomew Diaz grabbed by Credence. Sully's trying to fight back. Sulsamore and Sir Pippin on the fence, and then Vasileta. It's Credence in the sprint to the line at the 150 from Vasileta and Sir Pippin. Credence in front from Vasileta, running a big race. Credence punched out in front though, and Credence won it. Credence followed by Vasileta, Sir Pippin, Savaheat, then Polly Gray.
Great to have Pat Hyland honoured with the happy retirement. Pat Hyland handicap over 2,000 metres at Flemington, a place where he won a number of races, but he won them everywhere, Brendan. And what a great jockey, what a great trainer, what a great bloke Pat is, and what a great influence he's had on racing too, particularly through his sons and their influence in racing. So a great family, the Hyland family, and fitting that Pat was honoured at Flemington yesterday.
Pat's riding career was a bit before my time, but certainly took in a fair bulk of his training career, and it was always great to, at the trials at Cranbourne, whether it be the hurdles or the flat trials, when Pat had a runner, he'd always come up and have a chat. And when Pat and Ray Benson got waxing stories from the old days, it was some really good entertainment provided there. But it's great to see Pat honoured, and Credence did a really good job there yesterday. Three deep, no cover, speed wasn't great, maybe just a more seasoned horse, and we've seen to Ballerina do it earlier on in the program. She wasn't able to finish off, but Credence is a horse racing at the peak of his powers at the moment, and he wasn't deterred by facing that breeze. Vasileta was on his back, ran well. Sir Pippin cut the corner and closed off nicely. Savaheat was good. He comes off that three-wide line as well. They finish pretty much in a line the way they settled. Polly Gray is with her foot right on the till and ready to win. Sees No Limit was okay, and out the back WT, he probably wants a little bit more ground and a little bit more of a genuine tempo for him to figure, but it was always going to be hard for him the way the race was setting up. And the disappointment of the race was Bartholomew Diaz had a comfortable run inside of Credence, and the warning bells were out with him at the top of the lane. But first two, three horses across the line are racing really well through this period, and you could probably throw Polly Gray into that as well.
The Ramos Ruffies fans were cheering right throughout Australia, Dino, at this race. How were you feeling when it was unfolding?
Yeah, it was pretty comfortable, Warren. Even though he was three wide, he was just having a nice gallop and they weren't going hard, so he wasn't paying a penalty for that three wide position. And he's a horse that, as we know, can go a lot further. So he needed to be more of a tough finish than a bit of a dash home, and he was there when he needed to be. Vasileta ran well. Sir Pippin. Thought he was ready to improve, and he ran probably as well as he could given the tempo of the race. I think the tempo shows you here, you know, where you can get a bit of a false reading on a race in that Sever Heath run fourth. I'm sure he's better at 1800. He actually ran through the line at 2000 because it wasn't a real test. It was just a dash home, and it suited him. Polly Gray, that was a lovely introduction for her to go to 2,000 metres. It didn't get her the result yesterday, but she didn't have a hard run. Now she can probably build off that. Because she was only third up, I think she can win pretty soon. And, yeah, Bartholomew Diaz, Warren, he gets a fair mention in the Shores report.
Yeah, his post-race veteran examination has blood in one nostril, so... Stable notified the Mara and Eustace Stable. He has to gallop to the satisfaction of stewards over 1,000 metres. A couple of horses I want to touch on, Dino. With clear galloping room, how close do you think Polly Gray would have gone?
Very close. And because probably had the best turn of foot in the race. And given, even though it was a slowly run race, it was, as I said, it wasn't a hard test for a first go at 2,000. Definitely think you know, she'd have been in the placings, and her sectional times just show how she was building her speed. She went from the 26th best 600 of the day to the 13th best 400 to the 4th best last 200. That's thanks to daily sectional time. So she was really launching a good finishing burst and ran right through the line. So you didn't get the money yesterday, but I think you can back her with more confidence now that she's had the soft run at 2,000. She hasn't been, you know, exposed to too much pressure. She can really build off this run.
What about Vacillator out to 2,000 metres? I just thought, although he ran second, I thought it was a masterful ride from Jamie Carr to be able to get a quirky horse like Vacillator to travel as well as he did in a slowly run 2,000 metre race.
Yeah, she gets most horses, Jamie Carr. She's just one of the great horse people that can really get them to just... She taps into them, and that horse travelled well for her because it was such a slow speed. It was such a different... dynamic to his most recent run in the Winter Championship final, and he raced well. So, he got a pass, but he'd be better in a faster run race as well. But, he raced as well probably as he could.
Credence taking out the Happy Retirement Pat Highland race 8 at Flemington yesterday. The last was down the straight over 1,200 metres. Johnny Allen and James Cummings had already combined for a winner earlier in the day with LCO.
So they link onto the course proper at the 300. It's Island Days and Our Wind Spirit over on the far side with Price Range trying to dig in, followed by Devil's Rain running on. Secure over on the near side, Kick Clear with Pinion, who is starting to finish fast. Our Wind Spirit, Devil's Rain, just in front with Secura and Pinion. Secura moves up, takes the lead. Pinion challenges Secura three quarters, and Secura beat Pinion. Third in good health from Devil's Rain.
Death, taxes and Pinion storming at the line, Dino. You can rely on all of those things in life and racing.
Yeah, she was there to win, just couldn't quite get the job done, but ran another good race. Didn't run the blinding sectionals that she usually does, probably raced that little bit closer. She was still in the top 10 for the last 200s of the day, but ran well. But Secura, who'd been wide at Moonee Valley, didn't get a lot of room at Caulfield, but took on the mails yesterday, but just got that beautiful sweet spot run again. And Johnny Allen put on a really good show yesterday, winning three races. He's expected to win on LCO, but whether it's the other two were as expected, I think that was down to good riding. And Secura got the job done. Pinion, we've mentioned, in good health. It was hard to get a gauge on her off the jump out at Pakenham. She really ran well first up for Peter Moody. Devil's Rain ran a cheeky race. Orleans Rock was closing okay. And Our Wind Spirit, we spoke about it with Ashlaw, just don't know if the straight really suited him in that he didn't change leg. And then Warren, maybe because of that, he pulled up with a bit of an issue from the Shields report.
Into one of Gator's files for sure, pulling up lame in the off foreleg and had a slow recovery. So perhaps an excuse, but maybe straight racing not the absolute forte for Our Wind Spirit. What was your take on the last, Brendan?
Winner, second horse, got into a nice spot behind, a good tempo to the outside. Inside led for a long way, but outside stronger late. Dean outlined the case there for Secura. Wide at the valley, not a lot of room there at Caulfield. She was getting close to a win, and she just got the gun ride there yesterday. Pinion teased everyone again, hitting the line hard. She's... She's just catching plenty of people out. We keep on tipping in when we think she might be right. Really taken within good health. Thought his run was super. Devil's Reign was good back towards the inside first, along with In Good Health, who came up pretty much between the packs late. But Devil's Reign led that inside brigade home. I thought was solid enough. Orleans Rock was a nice enough run as well. But Secura just got into the sweet spot behind with Pinion. Pinion not able to get past her.
James Cummings and John Allen combining to take out a double at Flemington and the last aboard Sakura, who maybe chased some fringe black type, according to James Cummings, prior to heading to the breeding barn. Competitive day's racing at Flemington yesterday, the Byerley in the heat of the Rising Stars Series final, the highlights at Flemington. Racing was also at Ipswich yesterday, and overseas internationally, the Curragh Cup and the Irish Oaks. And Dean Lister's our international spy. He'll give us a couple of pointers from that meeting, and we might even get Dino's highlights of what he's looking forward to most at a big jumps meeting at Pakenham today. Brendan Delaney to take us through that after 10 o'clock, the form with Harry White on Sunday Central. But right now, we'll take a break. It's 10 to 10. Back with an international review and a look at Ipswich.
Many in with chances, and Laburnum is sticking at it. Inside the final furlong and down the outside, it's Even So who's come to hit the front in the Judmont Irish Oaks. And it is the year of the classics for Colin Kane and Gerlines. Even So has won the Judmont Irish Oaks from Kay and Pepper. Passion next ahead of Laburnum.
Another reason, Dino, why Laburnum was a late scratching at Flemington. She had a plane to catch to get to the Irish Oaks.
Just had a dirty day, missed the place in the Irish Oaks, missed the run at Flemington, Laburnum, and it wasn't a great day in two hemispheres for that name.
And thanks for Darryl Shearer to passing on the information. Mike Moroney actually trained the dam of the Irish Oaks winner in Breeze Hill to win at Tarapa in 2004. So purchased by, bought by Paul in the UK. So interesting that there's a link to the Moroney stable, Dino, with that Oaks victory in Ireland last night. What can you tell us about the race?
Yeah, she was a 10-1 chance and just very strong late. With 200 to go, the race was up for grabs. Kay and Pepper was the favourite. Jessica Harrington having a great season with her team of horses, and she had the favourite. And looked a good winning chance at the 200, but Even So just put her away and ran through the line strongly. The Aidan O'Brien trio of Passion, Laburnum and Snow filled third, fourth and fifth, but the winner really did run away with it. And the Curragh Cup was run last night, Group 2 level, and Twilight Payment won another race. He's now won two in a row. He was too good. Master of Reality, he settled a long way back. He ticked over okay. They came in at long intervals in that race, but I think Master of Reality is ticking over okay in Twilight Payment, who we saw in last year's Melbourne Cup, was a good winner of the Curragh Cup.
Oh, the MS for you, in particular, Dino. One from Len N. Please ask Dean if he's researched, identified the location of James Dunbar's Flemington Inn. Any closer to finding out where that pub is, Dino?
Courtesy of a terrific story on racing.com done by Sam Doran yesterday. The Dunbar's Flemington Inn was virtually on the corner of what we'd now consider Mount Alexander Road, Racecourse Road, in that sort of vicinity there. And that's I think where the start of the Flemington Cup was actually run back in 1849. I hadn't checked with Keith Hilliard, but he might know. But that was location.
Yeah, one of our regular SMSs from a while ago used to reside in Travancore. We haven't heard from him for a while. And I think if you have a look from that location, you can even find you can see Pagan Real Estate. So maybe an omen there that there could be a good race at Flemington for Dennis down the track. And another one for you, Dino, Credence is flying like Dean. Could Credence win an early spring Group 3 or maybe even a touch better Country Cups from Steve from Bendigo?
I just wonder if they'll aim him up at, probably you've got races like that Harry White Classic that's run, I think it's run at Caulfield this year, and would they have a go at the Bart Cummings with him and just have the dream of maybe trying to go towards a Melbourne Cup? I don't think he's up to winning a race of that nature of the Melbourne Cup, but those fringe races, he could certainly be effective. If they want to keep him to the shorter trips, probably he could win a little race as well. But he's going very well, and he's got a real winning habit at the moment, that's for sure.
Bendigo's also seeing things similar to me. There was a horse in Adelaide yesterday, could be special. Instant celebrity. Nothing went right on a tight track and its win was special. I agree with you, Steve. We'll get to that a little bit later and see if anyone else has got a comment on instant celebrity taking out a feature race in Adelaide yesterday for the two-year-olds. One of the features at Ipswich yesterday was the eyeliner, and it's a horse we know well from his time down here in Victoria. Took it out.
Tarzan, Fiery Heights and Deep Image up into third. Fourth is I Dream of Green. 50 outsiders, Hard Stride. Panino, Mr. Bellagio is out very wide and Bandipur is just in behind those, looking for the way clear. Tarzan, I Dream of Green. Winner Passage over on the inside. Monsieur Gustave, Deep Image down the outside. I Dream of Green over on the inside. Bandipur, Monsieur Gustave, Deep Image. Bandipur's driven through. Bandipur's grabbed the lead in the eyeliner. Flashing late, Boom Sara, but Bandipur beat Boom Sara. Photo third, Michelle
Gustav. Formerly with the Godolphin operation, now with Kelly Purdy, and I love the post-race interview with Bernadette Cooper. Dino, Jack Goodman-Chester just said, I don't even know how that happened. He just seemed to fluke runs near the inside, and I think he needed to go and watch the replay to see how it all unfolded.
Yeah, well, look, I think that's a bit, I know a couple of the riders, and you've managed jockeys as well. I remember Luke Curry going there one year and riding at Ipswich, and he said it's just a whirlwind going around that track, and maybe that's what Jags experienced yesterday, because you're always turning and things are happening a lot, and yesterday Bandipur got the brakes when he needed them.
I think Pete Mertens might have gone up there and taken out that race on Impala one year. Brendan Delaney, what was your take on the eyeliner?
Yeah, Bandipur got through. It was pretty willing, wasn't it, at about the 200? There wasn't a lot of room. Boom Sara was the one that was marking time in behind and probably gets the run at wins, but Bandipur was the one that got the luck. And just touching on Credence, depending on what internationals come out, there might be a couple of races back-to-back for him. A Geelong and a Bendigo Cup might be a nice couple of assignments for him.
Yeah, good thought there. The next feature race at Ipswich yesterday was the last. It was the Gay Waterhouse Classic, and Tony Gollan was settling up Solar Star, who's heading to the Broodmere sale at the Magic Millions.
Third out to Shelwar, Satin Socks, and Stryman Rosie, Posey Boat McNair the inside, Solar Star and Jammy Lady. Solar Star the inside, Jammy Lady the outside, Lady to Stryman. Still in front though, Solar Star, and Solar Star defeats Jammy Lady. Multaja has jumped up out of the ground to run third.
Robbie Frard aboard Solar Star, and as we heard there, Brendan, from Josh Fleming, Multaja hitting the line hard as we come to expect from her.
Yeah, but the race wasn't really set up, controlled up on the speed, Solar Star, and the runner-up, Jammy Lady, right up there on the speed. Multaja was really charging late. She just got held up a little bit coming to the turn. Pace wasn't overly strong for her to slingshot off the back of. They go a little bit quicker. I think she runs over the top of them.
Any thoughts on this race, Dino?
Well, if you like one of them, you'd probably be able to buy it at the Broodmare sale in a couple of weeks' time. A lot of those mares were having the last throw at the stumps before they go off to stud.
It was a fashion parade for the Broodmare sale coming up at Magic Millions. Before we get your run of the day and horse to follow, Dino, just one or two things. I know you love your jumps racing that you're most looking forward to at Pakenham this afternoon.
I don't think I'm alone. I'm looking forward to seeing Telly Ho Twinkle Toe again. We saw him last winter and what a performance he put in last winter, and he's obviously in good form again. And just this, it's not one of the features, but the development of Flying Agent, now he switched defences. It'll be a really interesting race horse. Like, the Dominator likes to roll along. It'll be run at a good speed. I think that'll really suit Flying Agent, and I think he's the one I'm really looking forward to the most.
Yeah, I'm very much on the same page as you, and we'll get all of the thoughts from Brendan Delaney and Harry White on that meeting shortly in Sunday Central. But now it's time for Runs of the Day and horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
And we'll start with you, Dino, and it could even be Credence if you want it to be.
Well, he's very, I'm very fond of him, but look, outside of Victoria, instant celebrity for a horse going forward I want to be with in the spring. She's an absolute beauty. To do that on the Morpeville Park track was phenomenal, but the best run at Flemington was Romancer, but out of the same race, Order of the Garter, you think would improve a lot, and that he's the one I want to follow.
Great work, Dino. Looking forward to your contributions right throughout the week here on RSN 927. And Brendan Delaney, before you take the reins with Sunday Central, give us your run of the day and horse to follow.
Dino won't go Credence. I'll take Credence. Polly Gray, the horse to follow. Another run of the day. If you haven't caught it, plenty of it flying around on social media at the moment. Have a look at Ride High last night at Ballarat. He is an absolute rocket. He flew around the Ballarat circuit there last night, and he'll run favourite in the Victoria Cup in a couple of months, you'd think.
Brendan, looking forward to your contribution right throughout the rest of the morning with Sunday Central, bringing us up to date with AFL and finding winners right throughout the country.
Yeah, really exciting jumps program coming up. Looking forward to going through it with Harry, but also with Donga, and then we'll take you around the grounds. Johnny Ralph on to talk footy, wrap of the heats last night at the Meadows, heading to the maturity in the Fireball final next week.
As I said, I'm on the same page as Steve from Bendigo. I thought Instant Celebrity was outstanding. I'll make her the run of the day in Adelaide yesterday, and Polly Gray the horse to follow for me out of the meeting at Flemington. Thanks for joining us on Correct Weight. Stay tuned for Brendan Delaney with Sunday Central.